Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union and our listeners.
If you wait for certainty before acting, you will rarely ever act. More often, it is action that leads to certainty. Now, we might expect to find a saying like that on an inspirational poster or as the takeaway from a motivational talk. But we might be surprised, we might be challenged and invigorated to consider such wisdom when approaching discernment, especially discernment of the priesthood. Rather than waiting for certainty to take the first step, start taking steps and build towards certainty. This, in a way, is the approach of a new guide to discernment produced by the Archdiocese of Boston in the form of a series of short videos under the title Shivyas, Know the Way of the Lord. The creator of the series is Father Michael Zimmerman, Assistant Vocations Director in the Archdiocese, who joins me today to discuss discernment, the sanctification of time and place, and discovering true intimacy in the Christian life. I'm Leonard DiLorenzo. This is Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life and the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm glad you're here. Father Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Leonard. It's great being here with you.
Father Michael, you were inspired to create this series of short videos to assist young men in their discernment, especially of the priesthood. I wonder if you could begin by telling us why you thought this particular medium, sharing this guidance through these short videos, why that seemed an important addition to your work in the vocations office.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I guess what the series is, that will explain why the medium is so important. Starting off in the vocations office about 2 years ago, pretty quickly realized that there's a need for a guide to kind of walk somebody through the paces of how does one go about discerning God's will and their vocation in life. I would meet with men, but there's more than I'd be able to talk about in our conversations. And there's plenty of other men out there discerning or thinking about these questions that I haven't had the opportunity to meet. So wanting to create a resource that would help men through this process and something beyond just a vocation story or a book about the priesthood and vocation and discernment, but really like something to accompany and to walk with. Video as a medium seemed really to be a great way to do it for a number of reasons. One, I think people like watching videos and the videos are short. They're only 5 minutes in length. So they're very accessible. They're quick and easy to watch. But also I wanted to create something that was incarnational. Both beautiful and enjoyable to watch beyond having helpful guidance and counsel being given, but then also demonstrating how discernment can work. I'm giving advice on how to discern, but I'm also telling my story of how I discerned. And I'm not only telling it, but I'm also showing it by going to different places around Boston that were really influential in my discernment. So I don't really always talk about the places that I'm at while filming, but they're very significant for me and usually related to the topic at hand.
You know, I love this point about wanting to present something incarnational because it would seem, you know, a lot of times when we're encountering others or we feel like we're encountering others in digital space, it's a disincarnate space, like we're excarnated there, right?
Yeah.
How important do you think it was, like as you're talking about here, these particular places and the things that you're doing, not just a voice coming? I mean, the irony here is we're talking about this on radio as people are just listening, right? But not just a voice kind of telling you what to do, but also what you're doing in motion and what you're showing people in terms of this process of discernment.
Yeah, I think it's important because it makes it real. I think a lot of times when somebody's thinking about like God's will and vocation and their plan for life, they feel a little crazy and they feel a little alone.
Yeah.
And like, am I just making this up? You know, is this imaginary? That was definitely thoughts that I had when I first was thinking about the priesthood. It was like, you know, I'm the only one thinking this is nuts. Nobody else is doing this. And so having somebody to walk with me during that time was really important.
Who were some of these people that walked with you? Because, you know, I imagine for your time in discernment, you didn't have a resource like this, the videos that were crafted and created for you. So Where were you receiving this guidance? Where was that coming from previously?
Yeah, so when I was at Boston University, where I studied, when I went to college, there was a group of religious brothers called the Brotherhood of Hope. And one of the brothers, my spiritual director, he had actually put together a guide somewhat similar, not video, but kind of daily meditations and things to reflect on. And so a lot of what I share in the video series, or at least part of it, comes from my, again, my own discernment, my own, like these things that have been kind of given to me, I'm trying to pass on and share with others too. So I found it to be very helpful, very effective. And so that's why I can say, like, I think this will be good. You know, this is something I want to share.
When you had this brother while you were in college who was providing you with this guidance, so he was giving you some things in writing that you could do on your own, but I imagine it was also important for you to come back to him and to receive, you know, as you were saying, spiritual direction for him and guidance. For those, let's say, especially young men who encounter these videos and are receiving the guidance that way, I mean, you're a resource person for them if they're there in the Archdiocese of Boston, but these are going out elsewhere as well. So how are, is this something that you keep in mind? Like how are young, especially young men, encouraged to seek out these guides, these mentors, these spiritual directors through what you're providing to them?
Yeah, I think finding that spiritual director, vocation director, a guide, somebody to help you through that is really important. I wouldn't, I wouldn't recommend telling everyone that you're like discerning the priesthood or a religious vocation.
That's always a sign of something else, isn't it? I've found that, right? Yeah, like, okay.
And also it basically, it's just a practical matter too of, well, do you want everyone's advice? Like, do you want tons of people telling you what to do? Like, for me, I was like, when I was discerning, I was like, I don't really care what anyone else thinks. Like, I want to do what God wants, and that's it. So, like,
yeah.
But also to recognize, like, we can also deceive ourselves. We can trick ourselves, or we just can become really narrowly focused on something. So, to have somebody in front of us to bounce ideas off of, to share what we're thinking, what we're discerning. The best description I've heard of a spiritual director is that they're like a mirror. You know, they're just like a mirror for you to help you see more clearly, like what God is doing in your life. So to find a spiritual director who's either a priest or somebody who's farther along in the faith than you are, vocation director who is going to respect, they're not just going to try to like recruit you, but try to help you know and do God's will. I think that's really important because we really run into problems when we try to do it on our own. So I would recommend it, and maybe these videos, hopefully they encourage somebody to get to the point of saying like, okay, I should talk to somebody about this. Because I think there are a lot of people out there who may be thinking about this, but they're afraid once they reach out what that means.
Right.
Maybe it makes it too real.
Right.
You got to bring things into light. You know, you can't just keep running away. When you're constantly just trying to bury things down or hide them, they're going to bubble up, you know, or you're still going to be dealing with them like 15, 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. Like there are men I help discern the priesthood who have been thinking about this for like 30 years. And it's like, all right, we don't need to do that. Like we can take this to the light. And just taking that first step doesn't mean you're going to become a priest. A lot of times we get put the cart, you know, in front of the horse and we get worried about what's 20 steps down the road. Rather than just like, what is God inviting me to do now? How can I follow him? How can I take this little step about talking to somebody trustworthy about my vocation?
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm joined today by Father Michael Zimmerman, Assistant Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Boston and creator of the 27-episode discernment series, Shivias. Thinking about these steps in discernment, I mean, part of what you're saying here is that it's important to actually take some steps, like move in a direction, which doesn't mean that the destination of that journey is certain. You don't know quite where it's going to end, but you can be certain you're not going to get anywhere if you don't take any steps. So in terms of the content of the videos of what you're putting out there, this guidance, we talked a little bit about the medium, but the content of it, what are some of the steps that you're proposing to people in terms of the practices that you're helping to initiate, especially young people or other people who are discerning into, or the questions that you're hoping for them to begin to dive into more fully?
Well, I guess starting with the end, as you said, about how, you know, we have to take steps, we have to move to action. One really quick principle that I like to share with people is that rather than certainty leading to action, which might be how we always think about it, like once I know for sure, then I can do it. In reality, it's action leads to certainty. So not certainty leading to action, but action leads to certainty. When I take steps, then I start to know for sure that, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what God is calling me to. So really the question is like, how can I get to that point where I'm willing to take a step even?
Right.
A lot of us are very afraid and fearful of that because, yeah, we're not sure. So how this series begins, the beginning of the series, the first part of it is coming to a greater self-knowledge and self-mastery. So self-knowledge about like, what are my fears? What are my desires? What are like the pillars in my life that I put my trust in? And trying to shift those to be on Christ and not on either just any other sort of advantage. So whether that's my identity, how do I define myself? What do I think will make me happy? How do I know that I'm loved? So the series really tries to investigate those kinds of pillar type questions in our life. Like, where do we put our trust in? And then learning how to place those in Christ so that we're able to take that step in following him. And the reason for the structure, hopefully it makes sense and seems apparent, but the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about the virtue of chastity in this way. And that's actually kind of a structure for the whole series. And I think really essential in discernment is the virtue of chastity. And the way the church talks about it is two parts. One is integrity of self leading to two, integrality of gift. So integrity of self is that my heart is whole, it's integrated, it's undivided. I'm not split and torn apart in different directions by different passions, but rather I'm able to know myself and have mastery over myself so that leading to two, integrality of gift, that I'm able to give an integral, whole, entire gift of myself. And that's the way a vocation works. God is calling us to make a complete, whole, entire gift of ourselves, whether to a spouse in marriage or to the church and the vocation of the priesthood or a religious community, for example. But our lives are meant to be given as a gift, and that's what God is calling us to do. But to do that, we do have to be undivided in our heart first and foremost.
You know, that strikes me, that second part of what you're saying, that first, the integrity of self is meant to support and lead to the integrality of gift, that this seems to me something that we're particularly plagued by in our day and age is the fear, the reluctance, maybe it's not even fear, it's the reluctance, the unwillingness to be all in, to give our whole selves in one direction. In some ways, it seems like we have all kinds of incentives to fragment ourselves, to put a little bit of our heart over here and a little bit of our heart over there, to glance at a whole bunch of different things all the time with the reluctance to pull away from keeping our gaze in a number of places in order to be in one place. Have you noticed that? I mean, this is a bit of a leading question, I suppose, but have you noticed signs of that, especially in terms of working with some of the people that you're helping to guide through discernment processes, this reluctance, almost, I don't know, is it a cultural reluctance to be all in, to let go of other possibilities?
Yeah, I think it is something culturally we all struggle with, find difficult. It's kind of like a consumer mentality of, I like to keep my options open. I want to do all my research. You know, I want to know everything. But we also know of like paralysis that comes with having so many options. Mm-hmm. And so we get frozen of just like, I don't even know what's best and what's going to make me happy. You know, like all the products in the in the mall are saying like, buy me and you'll be happy kind of thing. But we don't even know like what leads to happiness for us, which, you know, Jesus tells us is in giving ourselves and losing ourselves, we find ourselves. You know, when we try to save ourselves, that's what leads to stagnation and death and suffocation, really. So I think part of it is recognizing we're not looking, you know, for just the best next option, but like, what is the pearl of great price? You know, what is the one thing I can give myself totally for? I mean, another way we see this is like, I try to have as many friends as possible, like on social media, you know, I want to have lots of friends. I want to have lots of likes. I want this, but it's like rather a more important question probably for most of us is like the quality and depth of friendship, you know, this like a deep intimacy. Mm. And ultimately, if God's calling us to celibacy, that's really what it is. It's, there's a uniquely exclusive, intimate relationship with him. Whether in marriage, you know, the more intimate a relationship gets, the closer we go, the more exclusive it becomes. God does this. You know, Jesus even he picks his friends to some extent. I mean, everyone, he saves everyone, but there's certain people he calls to follow him in the crowd. And then there's the 72 that are sent off on mission. And then there's the 12 apostles. And of the 12, there's the three, Peter, James, and John. And there's a beloved disciple, John, and Blessed Virgin Mary, and his friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know, he kind of had particular friendships. Mm-hmm. And the more intimate it becomes, the more exclusive it becomes. So to not be afraid to like go deeper in relationship, whether that's in marriage with one person, giving ourselves to them entirely, forsaking all others, or in a celibate relationship with Christ, recognizing, yes, I'm saying no to others in order to say yes more completely and fully and perfectly for him.
Such a great way in which you describe that, especially using Christ moving from the many down to the few, not the few at the expense of the many, but there were realms of intimacy here, right? And that takes, you know, I think as you're talking about it, this investment of time and of attention, like you can't, mm-hmm. we don't have the time and the capacity for attention to be intimate with everyone. Like there's an exclusivity, as you said, to that. You know, I'm reminded there of one of the videos in the series, one of the ones I watched most recently, which was under the title, Love That Dirty Water. And it was about, you know, you're bringing up from your own discernment process, your discernment of specifically the diocesan priesthood in especially the Archdiocese of Boston. I was wondering if you could tell us about that, because there is a kind of, there's an intimacy, I suppose, in that. There's an attentiveness in what you're talking about. There's a particularity of the kind of call you were receiving. How did you understand God calling you to the diocesan priesthood, especially in Boston?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And in a way, it came in times in different ways, like kind of different snapshots, kind of God giving me. So there was, as we said, like before, about the need to take steps forward. That definitely needed to happen for myself. So after going through this discernment with this religious brother I mentioned, I pretty much discerned I was called to celibacy. I was at the end, I guess, of a over 4-year relationship with my girlfriend. We kind of mutually broke up. After that, I had greater clarity that, okay, yes, it seems like I'm called to celibacy. So I began discerning with these religious brothers because I desired the beauty of the evangelical councils of poverty, chastity, and obedience. I admired their community life and their prayer and the work that they did, their ministry and mission. So that was a natural next step for me, was to investigate these religious brothers. So I got to know them over the course of the next year, my junior year in college. I lived with them for a couple of weeks during the summer. But at the end of that, doing a Ignatian retreat, first I realized a 3-day kind of Ignatian retreat weekend, I saw that one, I felt called to the celebration of the sacraments. I felt very much drawn to the sacraments, whether that's confession or the Eucharist in particular. And this was a community of religious brothers. They weren't ordaining more priests. So that was kind of there. I also felt called to what I would call like the backbone of the church. Like the church is structured in a hierarchy of a way of, you know, there's diocese, and then under the bishop in the diocese, there's parishes. And that's largely the structure of the church and how people come to faith and to practice it. And so I felt called to that backbone of the church in a way. For whatever reason, that was an image I had. I also had an image of like being called more towards spiritual fatherhood than brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So those were some things indicating the priesthood for me, but specifically diocesan priesthood. Was one, there are many things that I love about Boston and that I hate about Boston. Like there's, and I think in that video, I talk about G.K. Chesterton talking about what is a true patriot.
Yeah.
And they're not somebody who's just the optimist who sees everything through rose-tinted glasses. They're not the pessimist that is just negative on everything, but the true patriot is somebody who wants something, hates it because they want it to be changed and to be improved. But they love it so much, they believe it worth changing and want to see it improved also.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I felt here in Boston. There's challenging elements to the city. Like we can be cold, we can be indifferent, we can be secular and not active in our faith. But it's also like, this is my family. These are my roots. These are my friends. Like this is where I've come to faith. And I see potential and I see beauty here and I see God at work. And later on, when I was in seminary, I was still kind of praying with this question, like, am I really called to diocesan priesthood? And one time I was actually in Turin there's the Shroud of Turin, there's St. Don Bosco, all these saints, Domenico Savio, Madre Mazzarella, Pier Giorgio Frassati. And I was asking this question in prayer, like, well, where am I called to be a saint? The response I got and heard in prayer was like, in Boston, you know, this is where I'm calling you. This is where you've come to faith. This is where you've grown in holiness. This is where you're going to continue to grow. So for me, that was kind of like the last real time the question came up. But what's really awesome when it comes to discerning vocation is there come moment of crises. And crisis in Greek, krisis, just means judgment. Like when we come to a crisis, there comes to a time where we have to make a decision. There's a judgment we have to make. And at least in my discernment vocation, every time I've come to a moment of crisis in that way of like, do I go deeper or do I go, you know, do I leave? Like God's used that to like draw me to an even greater conviction and greater understanding of myself. So like rather than running away from that crisis or the difficulty we're experiencing, rather it's the cross, you know, Jesus uses that to help us understand ourselves and how he's calling us and to strengthen our conviction more deeply. Mm-hmm. And that's what I experienced when discerning the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Boston.
You know, I just think this is the kind of question not a lot of us ask, the question of where. I think for those of us who have discerned or maybe, you know, in ongoing processes of discernment, even as we've committed to states of life, we may regularly ask the Lord, how do you want me to be a saint or in what way? Or, you know, some form of that question. But that question that you asked really strikes me, like where? And there's almost, I don't know, it's like an anti-modern kind of approach to that, a commitment to a place, like to stability, right? Like where do you want me to dig in to put down my roots? I don't quite have a question there. I'm just reflecting on that. I'm just listening to that and kind of struck by it a bit.
Yeah, no, it is a profound thing. After I was ordained a priest, I was finishing a degree in scripture. I was studying scripture. And so I spent a semester in the Holy Land over and lived in Jerusalem for a couple months studying scripture there. And it was awesome. Yeah. You know, to be a newly ordained priest, getting to like fall in the footsteps of Christ, like literally. But what struck me in particular was when you celebrate Mass at the different holy sites, you don't celebrate the Mass of the day, Advent, you know, or ordinary time or Christmas. You know, you don't celebrate the Mass of the day. You actually celebrate the Mass of the place, which seems really weird at first, but recognizing like that Jesus not only sanctified time, he not only sanctified like, you know, Sunday as the Lord's day, the day of his resurrection, or the different feast days, you know, Jesus sanctified those days and time, but also place is sanctified as well. So the places we go to, like Jesus has made holy by what he did there and the events that happened there. So you celebrate the liturgy of the place. But I think on some level, like that takes place in our own lives as well. We can sanctify our days to the Lord by our prayer. And I, for example, as a priest, I pray the liturgy of the hours, kind of sanctifying the different hours of the day. But I think there is something to be said for like place as well. Like when St. John Paul II would arrive, you know, on his trips that he would travel, he would bend down, he would kiss the earth like when he arrived. And it's very powerful. You know, there's something profound there.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm joined today by Father Michael Zimmerman, Assistant Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Boston. The sanctification of place, I feel like we should just do a whole conversation now on that. I feel like there's really something there, right? Like, how might we think about our particular vocations to priesthood, religious life, to married life in various forms of work as making this place holy? And to go back to what you were talking about from your own discernment journey, the feeling of a call to the backbone of the church, the parish. I wonder if there's some way in which this is like a reclaiming of the understanding of parish life. Like this parish is the local church in this neighborhood, right? For this place. And I don't know. Maybe we've gotten away from that, especially because we have all kinds of other places where we try to seek spiritual nourishment. We have our – there's maybe the pastor at the parish, but there's also like all these various different types of pastor-type people that we encounter online and voices we listen to. Or, of course, there might be like parish hopping and these sort of things. But this recommitment to a particular community in this particular place, this stable place of the faithful I don't know. Is this something that comes up, or are these considerations that are on the minds and hearts of people that are discerning that you work with, or is this something that might come later for them, if it comes at all?
Yeah, no, I think if for men who are discerning the priesthood, I think it probably is under considered. Like, where am I called to? And often comes like later on, where it's like, okay, I think I'm called to the priesthood, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a second. Like,
where do I do my priesting?
Yeah. Where am I going to do this? Like, my family lives here. I grew up here. I went to school here. You know, it can be difficult. It's confusing.
And that's a distinctive thing itself, right? Like, to actually, for many of us who have grown up, like, we're actually from a whole bunch of different places where, you know, for the history of time, this wasn't the case.
Right.
For the most part, you were from a place. We're not like that anymore.
Yeah. And it is true. Like, some people are called to stay like where they grew up. Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at the patriarchs, for example, like Isaac didn't really go anywhere. You know, Jacob left and then came back.
Right. Had to go see about a girl, came back.
Yeah, exactly.
We went to see about a girl, saw about two girls on accident, and then came back. Yeah.
Yeah. But Abraham, for example, like, he was called to a new place. But God had a place in plan, like, in mind. You know, there was the promised land in store for him. So even if that place isn't necessarily where our roots are, some of us are called to be more missionary, and we are sent out, you know, to the ends of the earth. But I think one is recognizing, God has a place in store for us, a plan for us. Our true home is in heaven, of course, but how am I called to get there now?
Yeah.
How am I called to work on that? And then also recognizing too that the church, you know, different images we have for the church are like a vineyard, or it's a building, you know, like a temple. But to really build something, like, there is a need for some stability. If we constantly move about, it's hard to have foundations. And so recognizing a need for that. This past week, I was attending a funeral for a priest who was celebrating his brother's funeral. And he was saying how his brother was a really, you know, holy guy and always prayed for him, which was really beautiful to hear. And so the priest said this line of, if you want a better priest, pray for the one you've got.
I love it. Yeah.
You know, like, rather than like, oh,
your imaginary priest.
The imaginary priest, like, oh, and I knew a priest assigned to my parish, or I'm going to like just go to the next parish over to have the best priest that's there, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a time, there's a place for that. You know, I can't say, but in the life of the church, you know, in canon law, like, your parish is the one you're defined as where you live. It's not the one you go to. You have the rights to receive the sacraments where you live. Anything else you need like permission for, if you're going to get married at another place or anything like that. But there is this understanding of like a domicile and having a home and some sense of permanence.
Well, maybe we're thinking then, especially as you work with folks who are discerning, about something that may come later as this focus on place. But for those who are just getting started, who are inquiring, where do you hope for people to begin? If they say, you know, Father, like, I want to figure out God's will for my life. I want, you know, I'm at least open maybe to being directed or figuring out about myself. And where do you have them start? What's the first step?
So I think the first step is you got to pray.
and they say, how do I pray? Teach us.
Yeah. Well, I think first is just recognizing the need for it. In that first video, actually, we talk about this, of just like the desire is like driving us to pray, recognizing like, I have a question that I don't have the answer to and I need God's help. Like, that forces us to pray, recognize like, okay, I can't just figure this out. I can't just plan my whole life, but I have to live it, and I have to live it with Christ and in relationship with him. And so maybe I have, again, like a lot of men who are like, maybe I'm called to the priesthood. A lot of that is just a thought, and it never really turns into a prayer of saying like, well, what do you want, Jesus? And we don't ask because we're afraid of the answer. in a way, it's because we're afraid of God that we don't trust him. We don't believe that, you know, he is good and loving and wants what's best for me. We think we know a little better, or at least we're a little afraid to ask the question. So I think, you know, the words of St. John Paul II, like, be not afraid, like, open wide the doors to Christ, invite him in, and start to pray about it and to talk about it with him. Only in that will we find peace and will we find happiness. When we run away from it, we won't. So I would say, yeah, first and foremost, it needs to start with prayer. I would say in going to Mass and like adoration. And for me, it's always in the presence of the Eucharist where the biggest breakthroughs I've had. So that's what I would recommend as well. There's plenty of other things I'd recommend praying, but first and foremost, you just got to pray.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a bit about the Shivyas video series that you've put together. If people are interested in finding out more on that, where can they find it? Where is it available?
Yeah, so our YouTube channel is Vocations Boston. That's our website as well, vocationsboston.org. And same with our Facebook page is Vocations Boston. But the YouTube channel has it all right there. But if you, one helpful resource is actually I put together a guidebook to kind of walk even deeper. So there's the videos, which have their own kind of questions and thoughts and inspiration. But in the guidebook, there's a summary of the video, and then it has reflection questions and scripture passages to pray with and further resources to go deeper into. So that's vocationsboston.org. You can find the guidebook there.
Excellent. Well, Father Michael, this has been a really rich conversation. I really appreciate your time spent with us today. Thanks so much, not only for this conversation, but for these great resources you've put out there for all of us.
Thanks, Leonard. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for joining us on Church Life Today.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.